We're back with two guests who are detectives over the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for Utah Sheriff's Department. We will be getting some great tips and advice on how to protect your kids, so be sure to stick around. You don't want to miss this. If you haven't heard our previous episode, be sure to go back and listen for some great information.
Line of safety. The WAM Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Thurber.
WAMSafety.com. WAM.
So we are going to talk about dangers online and how to protect your kids from predators. I am so excited to have Detective Stewart and Detective Roche with me here today. Can you guys please share with me what your expertise is?
So I am an Internet Crimes Against Children detective with the Special Victims Unit.
Okay, excellent.
And I investigate crimes against children, hands-on offenses.
Okay, we're honored, seriously, to have you guys with us. And we're so excited to learn so many great things to help protect our kids on the internet, because this is a big issue.
It really is.
Definitely. And you guys deal with this every day. And so you guys know how many issues there are with this and how we can protect our kids. So I think with that, maybe do you guys mind sharing some of the crazy stories that you've dealt with? And then I would love to give out some tips and resources for our parents.
We have a lot of cases that we've worked with. One of the main ones that are something that I'm always going to remember, a case that I worked on, was a guy that I met on an application called Whisper. I met him on there, talked to him as a 13-year-old for almost 6 months, had a relationship with him. I texted him all day long, every night. Unless my mom took my phone away, I would tell him that when I didn't want to text him, when I was busy doing other things or what have you. But I talked to him for several months. He actually talked to me as multiple, because I had different accounts.
Okay.
And he would always pair up with me on different accounts and talk to me as a 13-year-old on all those accounts, sometimes 12. And he would, while he was talking to me, would send me pictures of his genitals, which is a crime to do in the state of Utah if you're an adult, sending pictures to a child like that. And he would do that. Me and him had a relationship. I eventually identified who he was. I went to his work, picked him up at work, brought him back to our office. And while I was interviewing him, at the beginning of the interview, I just simply asked him, "Hey, why do you think you're here today?" Because I hadn't told him. I told him, he was under arrest and we were transporting. He didn't say anything. He didn't ask any questions.
Oh, wow.
We drove him all the way back to our office. I sat him in the interview room and I asked him, "Why do you think you're here today? You haven't said anything. Why do you think we're arresting you?"
And what do you think?
And he confessed to having a sexual encounter with a 14-year-old boy just days prior to being arrested. And that's what he thought he was being arrested for. He thought that kid had got caught and somebody had found his messages, and he had been meeting up with him for a while. It was something that had been going on. So he confessed to all this stuff, and it wasn't our jurisdiction. So I actually had to call the jurisdiction that I was happening in and have them come to our office so they can do their investigation.
So he had no idea that you had been undercover and you were actually acting like a 13-year-old girl?
Yeah, I was a girl. Yeah.
And he had no idea that he was even getting charged with that crime. He just thought it was this whole other incident. Yep. So who knows? And that's one thing I've heard, is that usually these sex offenders have done this multiple times. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a pattern of behavior. He actually confessed to a lot of things. We ended up finding child pornography on his phone. And he told us that he was exchanging that with somebody in another country, getting it from them, sending it to them. We found videos of him performing sex acts on his dog in his phone.
That's so sick. We
found a lot of stuff in his device that was pretty gruesome. Yeah, he doing all this and never been caught, never been arrested, had no criminal history. He was 29 when we got to him. So who knows how long he's been out doing that prior to before he came across me. Because he was more than willing to have a relationship with me as a 13-year-old. He consumed a lot of my time because I had to constantly write him to keep him, engaged. He wanted to stay engaged with me, so I just constantly talked to him nonstop for those.
Didn't you tell me that you were messaging him on Christmas morning?
Yeah. So I remember Christmas morning. I remember, being by, sitting next to my Christmas tree.
Oh my gosh!
Around the holidays, around this time of year,
and
texting him at 11 o'clock at night while watching a Christmas movie with my wife. I got to text him, and my wife was totally on board. She knows what I do.
Right.
So I texting him, just being at home, just, being a kid, telling him I got to go to bed, telling him my mom's taking my phone, all those kind of things. And he never was like, "Oh, this isn't right. I shouldn't be talking to you." He was always right back in the next day. He would always write me. I'd always let him write me first. It's kind of how I like to do that with my investigation, so I can show that, hey, he's reaching out to me. But I'd always let him write me first.
Okay.
He kept me engaged for that entire time. He would reach out to me.
And he knew that you were a young 13-year-old girl, and so that was illegal, and he still continued to do that.
He still did.
Wow. And then what about, what's that app that you just mentioned?
Whisper.
Whisper. What is that exactly?
It's kind of just like a, it's just like a random social media app. It's kind of older. It's been around for a while. It's not used as much, and it's full of spam mainly nowadays.
Okay.
But if you just make a post, anything you want to say, you can say, I'm having a bad day today. And then you go through a list of pictures that it has already preloaded into it. Like the app already has it in the cloud based off of what you typed. So if I say I'm going to school today, it'll show me a bunch of pictures of school supplies, school people at school, stuff like that. And I can kind of just put whatever I want as a picture behind it. And then I post it. And then people in my area can, or anywhere really, can respond to it and talk to me in a chat room. Just as a in a chat, like a text message.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, and how dangerous that is. Like, us as parents don't realize that our kids are communicating with random people, like you said.
Yeah.
Here this guy is 29 years old talking to this young girl and have no idea, like, what's going on. And if that was really your child doing that, how scary.
He could have been meeting up with an actual 13-year-old. And, well, I mean, obviously, he had confessed to having sex with a 14-year-old days prior, so he has no problem with it. He would have just gone about what he was normally going to do.
Exactly. You
know? And it would have been someone else's child being victimized.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That is so awful. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So yes, this is why this is so important that we're talking about this today, to help educate all of us so that we know how to protect our kids.
Right.
So again, this is super powerful, and I appreciate you guys sharing this information with us.
Yeah, for sure.
This is definitely going to help. So what are some things, if you saw that on your kid's phone, what if you want to get rid of that, right, off their phone? But like we have talked about before, kids are so smart these days, and they know how to manipulate technology very well. So say that you did take away, for example, their phones, or you took off those apps, or you got, you know, one of those applications to help see what's on their phone and stuff like that, but they know how to manipulate it. What do you guys recommend?
I mean, at that point, if they know how to do that, and they know how to get around, like, safeguards put in place for their protection, the unpopular opinion is take the phone.
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't give keys to your house for someone to come in at 2:00 in the morning, right?
Absolutely not.
That's exactly what you're doing. And sometimes the best thing that you can do is you can take that away from them.
I love that. And that's a great analogy. It's like you wouldn't give the keys to just any random person to come into your house anytime, day or night, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's an excellent way to look at it. And so why would you do that for your kids and to give that to any random person out there, right? Because they have access now to your kids.
Right.
You're not going to leave them at the park by themselves. Why would you?
Yeah. You can literally get internet, high-speed internet. You can always get internet around the world, but you can get high-speed internet at literally any point on the planet, any location. There's a lot of technology going up where that's providing that service to everybody. And as long as you have an antenna, you can get that high-speed internet. So anybody really has access. It's not just a certain group of people or certain individuals in certain communities. It's literally everybody.
Everybody, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's even more dangerous, right? Because our kids are everywhere. We take them with us to the store, they go to school, at our homes. And so they have this access all the time, 24/7. And that means all the predators have access 24/7 to what they're doing, and they can track and see where they're at.
Yep.
And they know, you know, hey, they're doing this or they're involved in this. And then I know we've talked about they're putting pictures out there so they can see, like, oh, I go to this school, or I'm part of this soccer team, or I'm part of this karate team, or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some things that you need to really be paying attention, because all those little things matter, because people have access to them. What about this? I heard a parent mention that they had taken their child's phone away and they had locked it up in their room. And I guess the kid was smart enough that they went and they found, like, an old phone. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, like, once you turn those phones off, that they still can get internet access.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh. And so that's how their kid still got internet access and was able to communicate to a predator. And mm-hmm. that's how that person still got a hold of them. And so again, we as parents need to be more educated that, like, if we do have those phones, we need to get rid of those old phones because they can still get onto them, or old tablets or old gaming boards.
Yeah.
And gaming is a big one as well.
A lot of the kids, they call those phones trap phones. That's what they call them.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. So if you ask your kid, do you have a trap phone? They'll usually like, how do you know that? You know, they'll tell you no. But
right.
if they have that response, they probably do. And I've had instances where parents have literally taken all of the electronics, anything accessible to the internet. They've given them their school computer, which is locked down.
Right.
And they're talking to somebody, and they've gone to the lengths of talking to them through like Spotify. They've changed the name of playlists to their conversation they want to have. So they'll change the playlist name that they're sharing with them to what they want to say. And then the person will go back in and then change it, what they want to say back. And they'll use the name of a playlist to communicate with each other because the kid wants to talk to that person so bad. And it falls into that addiction and that I want to talk to this person that cares about me. Mm-hmm. And the addiction to the social media, which is being created by allowing them to have everything. And so that's something as simple like that.
Right.
You know.
So they're working around the system to get mm-hmm. access still to talk yeah. to those
simply is,
individuals. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What could you do then to help protect? So like if you did find out that they were talking to somebody after that and you have taken away all of their electronics that you think, what about like shutting down your internet or something like that so that they don't yeah. have access?
And I think that's something you could do. But if it gets to that extent, I think that there's more of an underlying issue that needs to be addressed with not only the kid, but with everything going on. Because if the kid's going to that much of an extent to talk to somebody who they'd never met, who they don't, I mean, it's different if you're talking to a friend at school and they want to just talk to them after school about stuff going on at school. But if it's an internet friend whom they never met, they don't even really know if they're really talking to the person they're talking to.
Right.
There's more going on than what we're noticing, right?
Right.
There's something else keeping that kid tied to that person that needs to be addressed. So it's not a matter of cutting it off because they're going to go find ways around it. They're going to go borrow their friend's phone. I used to do that in high school. I used to pay my friends their lunch money. When I get my phone taken away, I'd save up my lunch money for a couple of weeks. I just wouldn't eat. And so when my phone got taken away, I'd pay my friends. I'd say, here's $20. Let me take your phone home for a night so I can text my girlfriend. And they would let me. And so there's ways around it. Even, you know, now kids are going to give their friends their old phones, like Detective Roche was saying. Take this phone home, just hook it to your Wi-Fi. And a lot of the accounts that you have, you just log into it and it brings all your data with it. So everything you have in that account is there. You don't have to have your phone.
Right.
You can log into your Snapchat and all your snaps are there. All of your hidden stuff's there. All of your conversations are there. Everything's there.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
Yeah.
Like half of the neighbors don't have their internet locked up.
Yeah.
So you can log on to their internet. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about, they can go grab an old phone or whatever and get access to it. And so those are really great tips that I didn't think of to help educate all of us. And so say that I did find out that my kid was talking to somebody. Do I get a hold of my local law enforcement to help? How do I respond to that?
Yeah, so that's very important. If you do find your child communicating with someone that you believe is an adult, immediately contact local law enforcement. Biggest thing too is take that device away from the child. Make sure they have no access to it because there's going to be evidence on that phone mm-hmm. of them doing this, and potentially some of the only evidence that we will have when we're investigating this to identify this person. So take it from them, keep it in a place that they won't have access to it. We've had cases where the child victim, because they're embarrassed or that, you know, or scared, they've gone in and gone into mom and dad's room at 2 a.m. when they're sleeping and deleted everything off of their phone.
Oh, wow.
So it happens, you know, putting on airplane mode, documenting anything that is time sensitive. If something's going to disappear, if it's a chat that you saw before you exit out of that, snap a photo of it so we know. You know, we have all of that.
Perfect. Snap a photo or maybe print off a copy so you have that mm-hmm. hard copy of that and hide that somewhere like in a safe or something so that they don't have access to it.
Yep. Yeah. But biggest thing, just be contacting local law enforcement and getting that phone and that information in the hands of someone that can investigate it. You know, because we've had cases before where it turns out this is, you know, a 15-year-old girl talking to a 15-year-old boy across the country. And when you look at that, you're like, this could be anyone. This could be, you know, a 40-year-old man. Well, we've had cases where we find out, oh, this is a 15-year-old boy. It's not a crime for two people to communicate and be like in this relationship online, right? If they're doing other stuff that's illegal, that's totally not right. But at least then we can say for a fact, hey, we identified this person, we got a hold of their parents, and we actually talked to them. This is who they say they are. And at least having that, you know, that peace of mind.
That's excellent tips. What about if they were to send inappropriate pictures? Because we've heard different things on that, right? Mm-hmm. So what is illegal and not illegal? Like if somebody was a 14-year-old kid talking to a 14-year-old girl and they were sending pictures back and forth, is that illegal?
So in our state, it is illegal for anybody under the age of 18 to send an explicit image, exposing their genitals.
Okay. And that's in the state of Utah.
Yeah, and it's pretty similar in pretty much all the states. That's considered, we don't call it child pornography anymore, it's child sexual abuse material or child sexual exploitation material.
Okay.
And exploitation materials, it's pictures and videos, you know, typically taken by the person sending them. Even if your kid is sending a picture of themselves to a boyfriend willingly, it's still against the law for them to do that. We don't charge kids if they're sending them back and forth to each other willingly. There's just so much of it.
Right.
It depends. It's a case-by-case basis. I'm not going to say we'll never do that, but if a kid's being victimized, like if there's a 14-year-old girl sending her pictures to somebody who turns out to be an adult or somebody who is extorting them on the internet, mm-hmm. We're obviously not going to charge her for doing that because she's being victimized. But yeah, it's a crime to send anything under the age of 18.
Okay.
You can't expose yourself under that age.
That makes sense.
As a minor.
So. Okay. No, that's so good to know. And that's a big one is sextorting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not educated on that. And I think that is such a huge issue.
Yeah.
Do you guys mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah. So sextortion, a lot of times when we see it, it's someone under the age of 18 or even older. They send a photo, an intimate photo of themselves, nude or whatever it is, to this person. And now that they have that, they use that as a way to extort or blackmail, like to get more of these photos, right? So like, hey, I have this photo of you. If you don't send me more of these, or if you don't send me money, whatever it is that they want out of it, I'll send this to everyone, you know, including your grandma.
Yeah.
Or I'll send this to your boss at work. Or I'll send this to the entire cheerleading team.
Right.
We've had cases where they literally screenshot the, you know, the profiles of the family members of the victim and say, hey, I have all these people. Like, I just have to hit send, you know, and it happens. And yeah, unfortunately, in that case, it did happen.
The kid actually emptied his bank account. They were asking for a certain amount of money. He sent what he could. They said, that's not enough. We want this much. And he said, I can't. I cannot physically do that. And they took all the pictures and videos that he sent them and sent it to all of his family, his friends, everybody at school.
They'll still do it. That's so heartbreaking.
Once you're locked into it, once they know you're sending money, they know, oh, this guy's going to send me money. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to actually hold him to it now. He knows I'm not bluffing. So they'll send the pictures out and then maybe he'll send more money.
Oh my gosh, that's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen. Actually, I have a family member that happened to. That's why I think this is so important to talk about is this is real life. And this individual did the same thing and sent tons of money that they didn't even have.
Yep.
And they borrowed money and it still happened. And so this is a true thing that's going on out there that we need to help protect and educate our kids and educate us as parents.
For sure.
Because that's a really big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
From your guys' opinion, tell me about gaming and why it's so important to monitor that as well.
So gaming it's something that most kids do. And a lot of the games in today's world have built-in chat rooms, have built-in ways to communicate with each other through the game itself, even with like VR. VR, there's ways to go into chat rooms and talk to people. Something as silly as that. You can meet people online in like a virtual world and talk to them. But it's important that we also monitor what our kids are doing in there, because if you take your kid's phone away and you say, go play your video game, it's safe. Like, you'll be occupied playing games.
Right.
You're still giving them the access to people everywhere. We both play video games.
Okay.
We're pretty avid gamers, I would say. And it's a fun environment, but we also come across people who have really bad intentions, who are vulgar, who are nasty. It's just what happens, because you're in a room with people from all over the world. So you're coming across people, you're basically what you are on social media.
Right.
You're coming across literally anybody and you're in their rooms. You're in there talking to them right away. It's like instant. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's important that we know what our kids are doing in there. You can't really prevent that kind of stuff if they're in the game. A lot of the games use that communication to talk with each other, but it comes down to the education and the monitoring and what they're doing.
Okay. So basically, again, there is a lot of predators, unfortunately, that take advantage of the gaming aspect. And so that's why it's so important to monitor your kids. Because I know I had heard that somebody was on one of the games and I didn't realize this, but they could hear everything that's going on in the background of that individual. And they could hear the parent ordering pizza And so they heard their actual address and how dangerous that is. So now this pedophile who is looking to get someone, they now know where you live and they know more details about you and your family. And so that's why it's so dangerous and important for you to be aware and pay attention of what's going on with your kids. Because you think, like you said, that, oh, they're just gaming. They're fine. They're safe. They're not just on the internet on an app. But that's not the case.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also ways to get your IP address, your IP grabbers. There's people that do that for like content. They'll do it for fun. Like they'll send you something and they'll grab your IP where you're at, and they'll like scare you, like just for their own content, for their own page, like as a funny joke.
Wow.
But there's people that are out there actually doing that that have bad intentions. It's very easy to do.
Right.
So through your IP address. So.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah.
You don't realize. Yes. Yeah. So that's why it's super important, again, to be aware, right? So your guys' advice to our parents out there?
Because it falls back to the same thing. Monitor what your kids are doing. Look at what they're doing. Once a day, look at devices, their Xboxes, their phones, their computers. Just look through it. Do it at random times. Because of course they're going to hide stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to see it. But if you do it at random times, if they give you a fight back, what are they hiding? Take that away.
Exactly.
You got to remember that you're the parent.
Yep.
We got to be a parent before we're their friend, right?
Exactly.
And I think that a lot of parents in today's society forget about that. They want to be their friend and want their kid to like them. Your kids are always going to love you. You're always going to be their parent. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to put your foot down and be a parent and be that figure for them.
Exactly.
Because they need that guidance. They don't understand it.
It's true. And you have to protect them. And that's the only way you can protect them is you have to be involved and you have to know what's going on.
Right.
So that's the key. That's the secret, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Well, you guys have been so fantastic and amazing. We've learned so many great things from you guys. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
WAM Safety. The WAM Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Ferber.
WAM. WAMSafety.com. WAM.